Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I'm reading in verse 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern that I will show you." It's this word tabernacle we're focusing on because the tabernacle represents something so precious. The word tabernacle means tent of meeting. And the reason why I wanted to focus on the tabernacle is because I personally believe it's one of the most powerful ways that we can visualize how we pray. Let me put it to you like this. I think firstly we should use our imagination to visualize what the tabernacle was like. The tabernacle was built all these years ago when God gave Moses the idea for the tabernacle. It was a physical structure. And it had this 7.5-foot wall all around it made of white linen. And the gateway was this beautiful blue and purple scarlet that you could only enter the outer courts through the gateway. And here I've got my, after we're in the outer courts, we actually have these props for us today, which I know you're going to love. Check that out. We'll talk about that in a minute. But of course, because when you come through the outer courts and you come past this brazen altar, this brazen, like a barbecue, the sacrifice, that represents the cross of Jesus. We talked about that last week. And then through the bronze basin, which represents washing yourself in the water of the word. But today I want to go past what Psalm 104 says and actually get into the holy place. The holy place is the place where only priests could go. You can't get into the holy place unless you understand who God is, and you're set apart, you're sanctified, the Bible says, for worship. And this priesthood that was represented in the Old Testament, of course, now, because of what Jesus has done for us, we now can go into the holy place, because every single one of us are called a priest in the eyes of God when we accept Jesus. That means that our destiny is incredible. And to imagine and to visualize this, past what I brought last week, I wanted to focus first on the first thing you see in the holy place, which is this. This is the table of showbread. And then over here, I tried to get a golden lampstand that was about 7 feet tall. That's the best we could get. This little candlestick. All right, This little candlestick is not what was in the Bible because, of course, candles were not invented until many years after the tabernacle. It was a lampstand that was literally like a lampstand. And, of course, this part of it was right. And each of the ends of this had this little cup and bud that burned oil. And even the oil had a mixture. And every part of this tabernacle has spiritual significance. People say, well, why are we talking about this Old Testament? We're getting into so much detail and so much depth. Yeah, because the tabernacle represents Jesus. And the more you study it, the deeper the revelation goes. And here this lampstand is the only light inside the holy place. And because it was lit by this lampstand that was burning, the lampstand, of course, and together with the table, and then we also had incense behind it, which we'll talk about in a minute, represented the three parts of the furniture that I wanted to focus on today. Now, this table of showbread has 12, six in this one, 12 pieces of bread, unleavened bread. And each part, each loaf represents the diversity of God's people. Each one of these stood for the 12 tribes of Israel, representing them, but it has a deeper spiritual significance, which is this. Jesus is the bread of life. And so this on the table represents that Jesus is for every culture, for every nation, at every time throughout the earth. And Jesus started to unpack this in the table, and Jesus said this. He said in John chapter 6, verse 27, he said, "Do not work for bread that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life." John chapter 6, verse 35. That's why Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then Jesus went on to say, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Let me just pause there. When Jesus is saying he's the bread of life, that means he is our provision. He is our sustenance. But that doesn't always mean that life turns out like we thought. That doesn't always mean that our will would be done. That's what we're talking about, seek first, that God's will be done, not just our will. And I've been praying this prayer like this for a long time. I wanted to put it up on the screen. This is my second point. I've often prayed like this: "My will, not yours, be done." Anybody prayed like that? In other words, you want something from God, and you are praying, but it's not turning out like you expected. You know, I'm just being real, that there are situations in my life I'm still believing God for, and I'm still pressing in for. I'm still believing, and you know, we could talk about these things, and you know, I've seen God do so much in my life, but in the areas where I've not yet had God answer a prayer, I simply trust him. Because I know that his will be done through my life, not my will. And this is a shift in our focus and our culture today. What it means is this: if you're wrestling and you're struggling, you know that God can give you peace in every single situation. And there was a time in Jesus' life when he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane for the will of God. Of course, Jesus was going on the cross to be crucified, and he wrestled with all of that. But if he didn't wrestle with it, he would not have died on the cross, and he would not have risen from the dead. And there's something about our surrender to God that will literally bring a breakthrough for your life. And there may be an area right now, I want to let you know, if you're in an issue in anywhere, maybe you're believing God for a reconciliation or a restoration in your family, or there's an illness that you're seeking God for, I want to encourage you to keep trusting God even when it doesn't look like things are changing on the outside. Even when you can't see circumstantial change, continue to trust God. He is a loving Father. And it might just take time. It might just take time for God to just work through your life. And so when Jesus is talking about it, that he is the bread, I imagine it like this. I visualize it like this. I've come through the outer courts, and now I'm in the holy place because of the lampstand. I can see the bread that I need to eat. Now, the bread's on the table for each and every one of us. What does the bread represent? The bread represents the Word of God, the Bible. But you have the choice to dig into the Word of God for yourself every single day. You have the opportunity, the responsibility, and the accountability to give yourself to the purposes and plans of God by reading the Word of God and memorizing it, getting it into your heart. And when you do that, you'll find spiritual strength for your tomorrow. I mean, there have been so many times in my life when I put the Word of God in my heart, then when I've gone through a challenging time, what comes up is the Word of God. Yeah. And one of the most clearest times in my life was this, was in my early times of just walking with Jesus, and there was a lot of darkness in my life and a lot of darkness around me. And so when I was at my worst, I remembered the words of David that he wrote in Psalm 23. "Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I shall fear no evil." What am I talking about? That's the word that sustains you even when things are not going well. I want to let you know right now, you have a spiritual strength when you stand on the word. Do not give up. Dig deeper. Get the Word of God inside you. And when you are pressed, you crack on. It's a bit like orange juice. I love orange juice when it's freshly squeezed. Anybody like orange juice? Okay, now I love to shop. I love everything about food, and I'm on a Daniel fast at the moment, so I can't wait to break my Daniel fast, by the way. And so I'm just saying, one of the things that I love to do is get some fresh orange juice, and what do? Is you squeeze it. When you go to the supermarket and you buy orange juice in a container, it says not from concentrate, or it says concentrate. Don't buy that stuff. That's like almost all sugar, And it's literally no juice and all chemicals. But you know the difference when you take an orange and you squeeze it. And when you squeeze it, out comes all of this good nutrients and good vitamins. Well, that's what happens to a Christian. The more you are pressed on every side, the more you are squeezed by the circumstances of life, what comes out of you when you have the Word of God in you is the Word of God. And when you declare the Word of God, even when you're getting pressed down and you're getting assailed on every side, when you're able to get the Word in you and you're pressed and all these circumstances around you tell you, you will not get through. No, that's where the Word of God comes out of you. That's why the Bible says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. That means you will conquer this situation. You will see it through because your God has promised that you shall do that. And there is nothing that can separate you, no pain, no suffering, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Because when you have Jesus in your life, we have eternal life. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever. Come on, that's worth celebrating. That's worth applauding. That's worth understanding. We're going to be with Jesus. And yet on the earth, we're going to go through some challenges and some persecutions and struggles. So it's essential that we feed ourselves the Word of God. So I have a way, I have a system, and my system is I am imagining myself approaching this table. And if you were at my house, I would show you I have a special place in my house where I go and I read the Word of God. I usually light a candle. Candles are awesome. Let the aroma fill the air and just like sit down, get a cup of coffee and sit down and read the Bible. I have a 1-year reading plan at the moment that I'm reading. Why? Because I want to be intentional about how I approach the Word of God this year. So when you get your devotional plan, don't just dive into the Word of God. And I did this for many years, so there's no condemnation. But you know, it's a little like diving in a swimming pool. Where shall I start? I don't know. I'm just going to jump in. You know, I mean, you jump in by opening the Bible and you read it. Whatever it comes to, in the 6th year on the 5th day, right? And you just read, next, it's like, don't be accidental in the way you approach the Word of God. Be intentional about it. If there's an area in your life you want to conquer at the moment, be intentional about digging in and finding God's precious promises that will fuel you and give you the provision and the tenacity and the capacity to keep going strong. Approach the Word of God boldly. Read it, memorize it, pray it, write it down. I mean, for years, I've been writing post-its everywhere with Bible scriptures on them. I do because early on, I was like, when I looked at myself in the mirror, I struggled with what I saw. But when you write the Word of God down, now when I look at myself in the mirror, I say, I am a child of God. If you can't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am a child of God, He loves me. I am a child of God. I am precious in His sight. Then I want to encourage you to dig deeper in life. Maybe you need to get on the Keys to Freedom course or get involved in one of the great life groups that we're starting this week so that you can look at yourself and understand, no, you are a blood-bought child of God. It took Jesus everything. You can understand His greatness. Why? Because the Word of God is so good and healthy for you. So that is the table of showbread. Once you eat this, once you feed from this, what happens next is incredible. And Jesus talked about this in the lampstand. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. Now, that lamp to the world, that light of the world that's represented through this lampstand is really powerful when you think about this. Because after you eat this bread, it's not just for your sake. I believe this. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is to be the lamp to the world. That's what I believe. I believe that with all my heart. I believe this church, Life Church, is the city on a hill. And the city on the hill in this location and in this region brings life. But the light, it attracts, it brings people to it. You know, in the darkness that we live in, the greater the darkness, the more the light of Jesus Christ shines. And that revelation is all there. And so what that means is this, that this lamp that never goes out, this lamp that never diminishes in its presence or in its brilliance, was commanded in the tabernacle to be tended by priests. And the source of the lamp's power was the oil. The oil continued to make that burn. Have you ever felt dry? Just dry on the inside, like you're going through a desert time and you're just struggling to sense the presence of God. Well, this is where I imagine, after I've eaten the Word of God, I approach the lampstand and I allow this oil to fuel me. You see, the oil represents joy. And if there's one thing we need right now in our society today, I will not mention some of the political things going on in the world today. I will not mention some of the fears going on about health and issues globally. I mean, they're just tragic. And so when I approach this lampstand, I realize, despite how dark it gets in the world, I know that I can walk in the joy of the Lord because He is my strength. I shall not fear the future because the lamp helps to illuminate what goes forward. Now, think about these two things. The bread, Jesus being the bread of life, Jesus being the light of the world, bring these two things together, and that's why in the book of Psalms it says that God's word is a lamp unto my feet. I mean, this is incredible. What that means is every place we set our foot, literally darkness flees. If you could see what happens spiritually, every place you set your foot, Christian, every place you set your foot, you take authority in the name of Jesus. You take authority. You're not retreating. You're advancing. There might be areas right now where you're thinking, oh, I need to step back and I need to rethink. I get all those times when you're strategic. But generally speaking, God doesn't want you to step back. He might have you rethink an area, but God's plan for you is advance. It's conquering. It's to get stronger. It's to get better. And the more you focus on this lampstand, the brighter that your world gets. The stronger the faith of God rises up in you. And so this sense, these first two things are crucial, that we get these and we understand them and we move forward to now the next piece of, which I don't have for us here because we couldn't make this work. This is called the altar of incense. Now, the altar of incense, I wanted to represent this today with a smoke machine, but it's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing if I put a smoke machine on the stage. But the altar of incense was literally the last thing that you would see before you went into the holy place. And the altar of incense represented worship. Worship. And this altar of incense that was lit twice a day continually brought this beautiful aroma before the Lord. And what that represents is this: our worship, your worship, is beautiful. It's beautiful to God's ears. It's beautiful. He loves the sound of your voice. He loves everything about that. And this is what the Bible teaches in Psalm 34, verse 9. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all of God's goodness. Isn't that a great promise? That's what worship does. That's beautiful. I mean, if you want to see more of God's goodness this year and the next decade of your life, worship more. Increase your capacity to worship. When you're facing an area right now and there's challenges, worship God in the midst of it. And that's why I love to sing. I love to worship and I love to play piano and I love to sing. And there's so many beautiful songs that we can worship God and we can sing and lift. And this sense of worship that we do together that just helps us so much. There's a song I'm thinking of that goes, I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. Somebody standing up in the back right now. That is what I long to do. Come on, Christians. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. That is all I do. Maybe we should sing, As the Deer Panteth For. No, I'm going to stop there. That's my worship. It's like after I sing this, I sing all these old songs for me and God. We don't often do those in church anymore, but that worship helps me to open the doors of God's goodness in my life. And opening those doors is essential, because if we don't open those doors of goodness, we'll be defeated by the negativity in the world and the challenges that we face, but not in my watch. I want to say, every single person in the house here, why don't you increase and double your worship in this next few weeks ahead? And create some space where you imagine you've been to the Word in the holy place. You understand how God wants to illuminate the Word of God in you. And then you just take that and you just worship God. Now, all that are what the priests got to do. But there's another phase that only one priest could do one day a year, which is entering into the most holy place. The most holy place is very important. It's found in Exodus chapter 25, verse 10. And in that most holy place, there is no lampstand in the holy place. The only light in the holy place comes from God himself, because that's where God dwells. It's called the Shekinah glory. That's the word glory of God, the Shekinah of God. And in that place, in that most holy place, that's where the essence of God begins to shine. Now, I love this, because if you approached God and you got into that most holy place and you had not gone through the various stages, you hadn't gone through the outer courts, past that cross of Jesus Christ, hadn't washed yourself in the basin, appreciated the Word of God, and enjoyed this lampstand, and then gotten into this worship aspect, you would die in the presence of God himself. And it happened to some of the priests. I've been reading about them. And what they decided to do, and God gave this instruction, he told the priests, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tie little bells around and put them at the very robe, at the hem of your garment. And they said to each other, we're going to tie this rope around the ankle of the priest, which I should probably demonstrate for you now, but I'm not going to do that today. He tied it around the priest, and then if the bells stop shaking, we know the high priest is dead, so we're going to pull the rope and pull him back out of the presence of God again. Imagine that. Imagine if in a church service like this, that anyone who isn't perfect in their standing would literally die in the presence of God. I mean, that would not be a good experience for any of us. But because of the grace of God, because of Jesus, we now have access to God Almighty, not just once a year. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can live in the very presence of God. That means in the very presence of God, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. If you can imagine it, God will give it to you, because that's what it means to be in the presence of God. And there's only one piece of furniture there, and it was the Ark of the Covenant. I've got a picture of the Ark of the Covenant here. We couldn't make it, but so this is kind of the best we could do with this, so you can see it. And the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, my only understanding of the Ark of the Covenant was from watching the old Indiana Jones movies, right? Remember the Indiana Jones movie and the Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff? That's what I imagined this, because I think that was the best kind of visual illustration of it. And some of you are going to think, oh, that's not biblical. You're going to write letters to me. I'm like, oh, come on, give me a break, all right? And in there, the ark represents intercession. And intercession is just so incredibly powerful. And the word intercession literally means to make petition for. And what that means is that we can enter into the very presence of God himself, and we can represent and stand on someone else's behalf and represent them to God. Petition is a legal term. It's like, have you ever signed a petition? I've signed a few, and you sign a list, and then you present it to an authority and say, look at all these people. We're standing together so that we could bring change against an issue or an area of society or a legal issue. That's what intercession is. And what God's heart for all of us as Christians is that we would represent intercession for those, firstly, who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That we would stand on their behalf and say and demand that these people would have a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I approach the most holy place, you know, it's like, I don't just want to enjoy that access to God for me. There's a level of enjoyment, but I want to intercede for what God wants to do. Now, what the Bible teaches is this. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says that God is able to save completely those who come to God through Jesus, and that Jesus always lives to intercede for them. So I want to ask you, did you know this, that Jesus lives to intercede for you? He lives to intercede for you. That means when you begin to get into the presence of God and you pray, Jesus has already prayed for you. And we're just catching up. And so that whole thought just blows my mind. I'm like, okay, I'm praying about finances. I'm praying for people in my world. I'm praying for the city. I'm praying for the region. But Jesus has already prayed. And when you think about that, you realize we are on the winning team. We are on it. Jesus' prayers get answered. I mean, we're partnering with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's already praying. Oh, the enemy doesn't have a chance. The devil is defeated. There's no thing he can hold you back from because Jesus is already praying for you. And so I like to do this. I like to get hold of my two teenagers, and I like to right now, my two kids will say, you will have an incredible life. Why? Because I am interceding for them in the presence of God. And church, you need to know this. That I love you all so much. I am interceding with Jesus for your behalf. You're going to have a great year. When you understand that, you can't wait to get into the presence of God and get through the outer court, through the holy place, get into the most holy place. And you start there and you're thinking, okay, so then who else do you want to experience this? It's like, who do you want to get in on this action? Who else? Is there a neighbor? Is there a friend? Is there someone estranged from your family? You just want them in the presence of God. You just want them with you enjoying how great God is. Well, that's intercession beginning to work through you. That's the power of intercession kicking in. And so I've made a list. I've made a list of all the people I want to get into the presence of God with me, with Jesus, over this next year. And I want to declare those on a regular basis. And so what I do is when I finally get into that place where I'm in the most holy place, I sense the awareness and the presence of God. I'm a list person. I get my list out. And I start praying. And what's happening is as I've been teaching this over the past 3 weeks now, fourth Sunday, people are writing to me and saying, Steve, can you pray for? And they're giving me the names of the people. I am now adding to the list. My list is getting longer. But it's awesome. Today I'm praying for an incredible woman, and she's got a great destiny, and she's doing great things, and she's awesome, and she's incredible. But she doesn't know Jesus the way she could and should. So a father has asked me, Steve, can you pray for my daughter? That success in life doesn't just mean economic success, but success means that she understands the presence of God. And people are adding to my list. And now I've gotten to the habit of saying, hey, if there's anybody in your life that you need prayer for, just let me know. Now, you can email me. I don't want a list of like 2,000 people to pray for. Why? Because you and I have that. No, no, my mom, Marcia, she's gone to heaven now. She's with Jesus. And she used to say to me all the time, she'd call me up and she says, Steve, she goes, can you pray to God for me? And I'm like, Mom, I'd love to intercede for you. Of course I'll pray for you. But you know, you can pray for yourself, Mom. You can get into the most holy place yourself. But she's like, no, I can't do that because that would mean that I have to go through the outer courts. I have to get my freedom. I have to wash myself in the Word of God. And so she was not able to get into the most holy place because she struggled with the bronze wash basin. She couldn't wash herself in the Word of God and declare, I am a daughter, I am loved. And so she stayed in the outer courts. And so she would say to me, she put it to me like this. She said, Steve, you have a hotline to God. A hotline. I'm like, Mom, I don't know when she first told me, because, you know, she was older. She saw all those old Batman movies, remember, with the red telephone. And some of you are like, you never seen that? I'm sorry, but that's how she thought. And she was like, Steve, pick up the red telephone and call God. Like, God picks up the other end of the telephone for you, but he doesn't pick it up for me. So use your hotline and pray for me. I'm like, Mom, I'm using my hotline to call God and say, okay, God, teach Mom that she can use the hotline of God too. She's like, no, I don't like that. I don't want that. I said, no, that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that you get it. Now you get it. Well, you know, this story is so precious to me. When my mom went to be with the Lord, I flew back for her funeral. And there at her funeral, which was difficult and painful, and we had a memorial service for her. And in walked this lady. And this lady was very disheveled, and she smelled a little bit, and she looked kind of bedraggled, and she looked downcast, and yet she had this light in her eyes, and she came up to me, and she gave me a big hug, and she said, Steve, you don't know me, you never met me, but your mom, Marcia, she picked me up. I was living on the streets, and she picked me up in the van on a Sunday morning, And she sat next to me. She said she was the only person who would sit next to me. And she put her arms around me, and she loved me, and she told me that I was a daughter of the Most High. And so I want you to know that your mom changed my life. She gave me the biggest hug, and I held on to this lady, and when I held on to her, I sensed the presence of God. And I realized that in the end, my mom used her hotline to help other people, and she let other people come into the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about. It's about understanding that our life is about that, and the joy that that brought me, and the joy that that brought that lady, and we were able to get her more help and help her find freedom and help her then discover how to move through the outer courts and find and get and discover the most holy place for herself. Really, that's what it's all about, church. It's not just about eking out our existence. It's being in the presence of God and thinking generationally. What kind of church do you want to build for us for the future?
Hey, as we finish our time together, we want to just take a moment to let you know how much God loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. Whatever you need today starts when you have Jesus in your heart. And if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, why don't you do that now? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you declare him that Jesus is Lord, that you shall be saved. It's just that simple. So we pray that you ask Jesus in your heart. If you want prayer for anything, drop us a note. And in your own words and in your own way now, ask Jesus in.